Well, thanks for joining me. Hey, I want you to pray for somebody if you could. His name's John, and he is a man who I knew him and his wife. Basically, they've traveled with me on pilgrimage many, many times, and I often say that, you know, when we travel together, you kind of become lifelong friends in some respects. You know, he's texted me for my birthday. They sent me a bottle of champagne. I mean, it was just, it's kind of nice. You get to know people. You know, I just went and had dinner with Dr. Bob Tamale and his beautiful wife, Tamaki, last week. He's traveled with me in the past. So Dr. Tabali was taking care of John. That's how I know. And I went and I visited his wife, Susie. These are very dynamic people, beautiful people, actually. Full of life, full of fun. And John was a man who was holding out faith. He was really trusting. He was really believing in the miracle. And his wife came down with cancer. And within a very short period of time, and I'm hearing more and more of these stories. I don't know why. My producer, Tom, his daughter was diagnosed with cancer. Within weeks, she was dead. Months at the latest. And the same thing with Susie. I bumped into her at an airport. I was traveling back from Maine last year. And I hear somebody say, Drew! Hey, Drew! And I look around, and there she was. Hey, what are you doing here? Our paths had crossed at a totally different state. Well, months later, I find out she has cancer. She's fighting it. We prayed for her on the air. They thought they almost had a miracle. It seemed like doctors were able to remedy the situation. And then cancer took a negative turn. And I went to their place. I actually drove and made a personal visit to them and brought a relic of St. Faustina and prayed with her. It was the last time I saw her. And John's, Drew, I'm hoping. I'm going to have faith. I'm really going to trust in God. And things got worse. And he eventually realized that God's plan was not his plan. I mean, we want to hold on to all of our loved ones forever. But paradise is a beautiful place. The next life, you know, we were created, as I often say, to live forever. Our true state is not here, you know, and there's a glorious awakening awaiting you and I, you know, a new reality, which will make this look like dirty, wet, pale clothes, this life. You know, it'd be like freeing from them and putting on a wedding garb, you know. It's like, that's what awaits us. And that's a terrible example, because they say those who've had these near-death experiences, who's glimpsed heaven, you know, the great saints, those with near-death encounters, they say you could take the most beautiful sunrise you've ever seen, the most pristine snowfall, the most gorgeous flower, the most beautiful sunset, and heaven makes that pale by not 1,000, not 100,000, not 1,000,000, not 1,000,000,000,000. It's hard to put into perspective the beauty that awaits you. St. Paul tells us, right? He tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, the beauty that awaits you and me. God's created a paradise for us, a beautiful reality. So, you know, I always, when my loved ones pass on, I know they're in a better place, and I'm grateful. I know that life is short, and one day we'll be reunited. John wrote me this letter. I'll share it with you very quickly. And it was entitled, The Luckiest Man in the World. And John wrote this. He says, as empty nesters, we settled into a life where I would come home from the office in time for Susie and I to listen to our favorite afternoon radio show. I sure as heck hope that was me. Susie always told me that she was making me a fabulous dinner, and she would take a break from preparations at around 5 p.m. so we could play our game of Scrabble on the iPad. And after the game, she would kiss me and return to the kitchen to finish up. I would read the paper until she called from the kitchen, John, dinner's ready. And I always said, oh, boy. We'd hold hands and pray grace, and the dinner was always fabulous. I'd do the dishes. Susie would ask what we should watch tonight. We sat on the couch until bedtime, and then we would fall asleep in each other's arms. I was the luckiest man in the world. Well, one day came the diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. And 4 months later, I laid on the floor beside the couch where she reclined. I was awake all night, holding her hand. In the morning, I knelt beside her, and I placed my face against hers. Honey, I will always love you. I said that, I kissed her, and then I got up to go to the bathroom. A minute later, there was a knock on the door. It was my child. Mother has passed. The luckiest man in the world, no more. John Schaefer. Susie passed on August 27th of this year. And the souls of the faithfully departed through the mercy of God. Rest in peace. John, my heart goes out to you. My colleague, Neil, we're praying for your sister, Amy, at 49, who passed away as well. Life's a mystery. You know, death is never pleasant. It's often hard to let go of those that we love. But to have known that love, like John did, to have truly found that love and to live it every day, I can only imagine how beautiful it will be in the next life, amplified in the presence of God. So, John, my heart goes out to you. I pray for all those who are dying in this moment. I want to pray for those who have lost loved ones, those who mourn the loss of their spouses and their children, their siblings. And I just want to pray for you. My heart goes out to you. It does. I'm praying today with my producer, Maggie. And Maggie, it's good to have you here, as always. Anything you want to pray for as we start our chaplet today?
Thanks, Drew. Wow, what a beautiful letter that was. I just want to pray for holy marriages, for the beginning budding relationships out there, and for those that are, you know, in their toughest throes like that. So I just want to pray for holy marriages.
Yeah, what a beautiful prayer. And for, if you missed the conversation yesterday, say a prayer for Maggie. She was just proposed to this past weekend, so she is now engaged and getting ready for marital bliss one day with a good Italian boy, so she made a good choice. That's what I say. And Maggie, if you can find love like that, you know, it's wonderful. I often say to my wife, my greatest mistake was not marrying you sooner, right? I mean, if you find love, you know, and you and Joseph, I know, dated a short time, so I'm glad you did that. You're going to be glad. If you know it's right, you know, boom. Yeah, there'll be happy days ahead. All right, well, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Bonnie. She's praying in Cedar Park, Texas. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm calling for, about my best friend. Her husband is terminally ill. He also has COVID and is being admitted to hospice. And my friend who is also has COVID. And I'd also like prayers for my husband who has dementia and he has hallucinations.
Oh, sorry to hear that. All right, Bonnie,
so
hang in there.
I ask for mercy.
Amen. We're with you. I'm praying with you, okay? We'll pray for mercy, especially on your spouse, on your husband, the man you love. We'll pray for your friends with COVID. I want to pray for those who have cancer as well. Lord, I give you every one of Bonnie's intentions. I'm sure she has many more. But I do pray for those today who are ill. I want to pray for those who are battling COVID and now just recovering from it. I do want to pray for those who are just finding out that they have cancer and who may have to carry a heavy burden in the days ahead. I pray for protection over those of us that do not have cancer. Lord, I just ask you insulate, protect us, and give us the great gift of health. I pray for that today. But for those who have cancer, Lord, I ask your divine touch. And we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call today comes from John. He's praying with us in Reno, Nevada. Hi, John. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm calling to pray for my nephew to have a good year of school. He's starting eighth grade this year.
All right. That's great. Great prayer. What's his name, John?
Ross. Ross Ehrenheim.
All right. Let's pray for Ross. We'll lift him up. I love that prayer. And for all students starting this year, I want to pray for all educators as well. Lord, I really pray against the indoctrination that's taking place in our universities and our school systems across the country. I just ask you protect our children from erroneous teaching, anything that can harm them or lead them astray. I pray for protection physically, emotionally, psychologically for students, too, who are being bullied, who are making transitions, who are entering school. I just ask that their minds can be open and receptive. And I pray for those charged with the noble task of educating that they may be guided by the Holy Spirit. So I give you this important intention as we pray. I give you all John's intentions too. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Do I have one more, Meg?
I have one more.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. We'll go to Kathy. Well, before I go to Kathy in Florida, Maggie, let me open the mic for you. Of course, grateful for Maggie. Maggie, she takes down every one of your intentions off of Twitter. So if you want to get them through and put them on the air, at Drew Mariani Show, our phone lines fill up pretty quickly. I'll try to grab maybe a couple extra calls if we have time today. But Maggie will share those. The Twitter handle, at Drew Mariani Show. You can also send me messages at Drew Mariani. It's always good to talk to you there. And Maggie, what's coming in?
I got a voicemail earlier today, Drew, from a gal named Rita, and it was so sweet. She said that her Aunt Josephine in Indiana is currently transitioning from this life to the next. She said she's surrounded by family that no longer practice the faith, and that was heartbreaking for her. She said, I pray that she can get her last rites. She was such a woman of deep faith. So let's lift up Aunt Josephine. And then she also mentioned her nephew Dylan was in a bad accident and wants to pray for healing and recovery for him. And then as far as Twitter goes, Brett wrote to us maybe a week or two ago, Drew, asking for prayers for some interviews that God's will be done. He says prayers during the chaplet again for another interview. So that must mean that it went well. He said, please let God's will be done. Adriana wrote to us and said, thank you, Drew and crew, for this chaplet. It's made me a believer of miracles. My sister-in-law, Maria, was diagnosed with breast cancer today, and I'm asking you all to pray with me that her cancer be eradicated. Thank you, Jesus, I trust in you. And Lisa wrote to us, Drew, she said, please pray for our daughter, Sadie. She went to California to find herself. We're praying for her. On Relevant Radio yesterday, we heard your stories of St. Monica, and we're praying and hopeful that she will return and live an honorable, happy, faithful life.
Amen. It's hard being a parent. Wow. We'll pray for your daughter, that's for sure. And, you know, and I'll share more miracles tomorrow. I'm grateful for everyone who's taken the time to actually type them up and send them to me. Send me your answered prayers at drew@relevantradio.com. In the byline, put answered prayers. Some people put praise report. Just, you know, flag it so I can definitely see that. And I'm going to share more of these. She's right. That last, you know, mother and the woman with cancer. And we see miracles here all the time. And they can be physical. They can be with a loss being found. They can be with conversion, and that to me is the greatest of all of those answered prayers. And the Lord promised St. Faustina, he told her, she recorded it in the diary, this is a prayer he hears, this is a prayer he answers. So as a parent, keep praying for your kids. We all have kids, we all have loved ones that have strayed from the faith, and we have to continue to pray for them. And God will not disappoint, I promise you that. God will not disappoint. Kathy in Claremont, Florida, good afternoon, you are on the air.
Thank you, Drew. I'm very happy to be here. I've only been a Catholic for 2 years, raised by a Baptist minister. My daughter married a Catholic, and since now I am a Catholic. And I love listening to your show because I've learned so much that I didn't learn becoming a Catholic, but I've learned it on the radio. So, but I'm calling for my daughters. I have two daughters that have cancer. One has had a double mastectomy, and they say they found all the cancer, so keeping the prayers going. And I also have two sons that are alcoholic, which I've asked for prayers through you before. One of them came up right after you did a prayer for him, and he didn't know anything about it. He went to his wife and asked her to take him to a rehab.
Wow.
He is 33 days clean now.
Oh, praise God.
The other one does not, that isn't trying yet, but, you know, I'm still praying, and, you know, miracles happen, prayers are answered, as you could hear, my son going and asking for help and not drinking anymore. He's very thrilled with his life by not drinking. He can pay attention to, because he was always a hard worker, and he would go to work, come home, drink, and pass out, you know, and now he's going fishing and doing things with his family.
Kathy, let's pray for him. Let's lift him up. I mean, there's a lot of functional alcoholics out there. I knew one or two of them, but you know, I think of St. Monica and you because I know there's a mother. Boy, a number of tears have been shed for your children, and I know God hears your prayer. So keep praying for it. You know, St. Faustina said in her diary that you know, all the grace that's necessary for those children of yours, right, and for all of us, all grace flows from God's mercy, all of it, and that the healing, the liberation from addiction, all of that. And she wrote, let no one doubt the goodness of God. Don't doubt God's goodness. Even if a person's sin were as dark as night, God's mercy, she says, is greater. It's greater than my mercy. God's mercy is stronger than our misery, she said. And the Lord said the same thing. All the works of my hand are crowned by my mercy, right? They're crowned. Flames burn me. I desire to pour out these graces on souls. So, Lord, I just immerse in those flames of your mercy, Kathy and her sons and her children, all of our children right now, all those battling addiction, all those away from the faith, all those who are trying to find themselves, all those living illicit lifestyles, Lord, all those who most needs your mercy. I just bring them to you now. I thank you as I pray with my brothers and sisters here, trusting in your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Laura is praying in Hammond, Indiana. Hi, Laura. Hi, hey, Laura, are you with us? I know you got a little baby.
Yes, hi, I'm sorry.
How you doing?
I'm trying to hold my baby.
Okay. That's fine. I'll give you a little extra time.
Yeah, so my prayer is for my four-week-old son. He has hemolytic disease of the newborn, and he's battling anemia. So I'm hoping that he can overcome it, and he won't need any more blood transfusions.
Oh. All right, Laura, we're going to pray for you, okay? You hanging that baby sounds beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I'm sorry that it's been born with this difficult disease. We're going to lift him up right now. And Laura, I know you're listening in Hammond, Indiana. So in Indiana right now, you are in the 3 o'clock hour. Just another little side note, and not everybody might know this. In the Diary of St. Faustina, in the devotion, the Lord gave all these different channels of grace, and we often talk about the chaplet, but the 3 o'clock hour holds its own promises as well. The Lord told St. Faustina, he says, at 3 o'clock, he says, implore my mercy, especially for sinners, even for a brief moment. He says, immerse yourself in my passion, particularly my abandonment at the moment of agony. He says, this is the hour of great mercy for the world. He says, in this hour, now listen to this promise. This is different than the chaplet. This is a promise for this particular hour when we meditate on the passion of our Lord. And we're doing that through this prayer, right? In this hour, I will refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. I'll refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. Lord, I pray for Laura. I pray for everyone on hold. I pray for everyone united with me. All these intentions that we've heard, all those that have been written. And Lord, I just bring them to the foot of your cross. It's diary entry 1320. If anybody wants to look that up and highlight it, it's one of my favorites. And Lord, and that's why at 3 o'clock I always pray. I always meditate on the Lord's passion. So Lord, we bring you all these intentions now, united together. But in a special way, I pray for Laura and her baby that there be another divine mercy miracle that takes place as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I'm just looking at my call screen here. My producers communicate with me through a device. And I'm seeing an off-air request. Jesse was killed in Orange, California. Maggie, are you aware of that? Or no, Nick put that up, our call screener today. So I'll pray for that. She was homeless. Thank you, Nick. Nick was saying Jesse was killed in Orange, California. Let's pray for the homeless. I feel so bad. So often they're driven there by mental illness, sometimes addiction, sometimes just sheer life. You know, you're a paycheck away in some cases. So Lord, I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy on finances, on those with mental illness, especially those who have nothing right now. We take for granted what we have. Lord, we thank you for how you've blessed us. But I pray for those in these really difficult situations. We'll go to Stockton, California next. Gina, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Gina. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey. You're welcome.
I've been listening to you for years, and I offer up my intentions when you ever say the people on hold and or people listening. And so I decided to call today. My mom is being diagnosed with small cell lung cancer, and it's pretty late stage. We're not sure exactly right now. We'll find out tomorrow, but it doesn't look good. And I just wanted everyone to pray for her salvation. And I've been praying for her conversion for years, and she just decided that she wanted to be baptized. So,
oh my gosh, Gina, wow. That's fantastic. Well, let's pray for many more years with your mom. Okay, let's pray. We won't shortchange God right now. We will pray with trust. All right, and we'll lift you up. Thank you for calling, and I'm glad you finally did. Glad to pray with you and for you, and especially for your mom. You know, the graces of my mercy are drawn down by one vessel only. That's trust, right? The more you trust, the more you receive. Lord, I pray for this. First of all, I thank you for this grace of conversion, because we're created to live forever. And if it's your will that you call Gina's mom home, then we thank you for that. We pray that you meet her as a merciful Savior, and we thank you for the graces of your mercy. But I do pray for miracles, Lord. I will never shortchange you. You raised from the dead. You eradicated leprosy. You've worked wonders. And I know you said you pour out a whole ocean of graces on those who approach the font of your mercy. So I bring you Gina. I give you her mom. I give you everyone on hold, Tony and Bob and Anna and Amy and Raquel and Pat and all those who are praying with me. And Lord, I give you every intention in my heart. You know what they are. And together I just come before you on behalf of those who are united with me. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Thank you so much for praying with me. You know, send me those prayer intentions, send me those answered prayers, and tell others about this beautiful prayer. We pray every day at this time, and I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Spirit sometimes so powerfully. I know God is at work in your life. Keep trusting. I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Noble ideologies produce beautiful results. They produce beauty. Poisonous ideologies produce ugliness. Super simple.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to Drew Mariani on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was, of course, Tucker Carlson. It was a rant that that I saw a few weeks ago, and I got to thinking about how really effectual beauty is in the conversion of hearts and minds. And I want to talk a little bit about beauty. We spoke a little bit about, in the very first hour, if you missed it, a conversation on the effect of media, right? And when you watch so much negativity, so often it's actually unhealthy for you psychologically and even in some cases physically. And as I wrapped up the segment, I shared a story about water, how being in front of water, viewing water, being near water, hearing the sounds of water has a very calming, decompressing effect, and how neuroscientists were looking at it. And there's a whole study done on the impact of the psychological impacts of water and why it's good to be around it and why it's good to view that. So I thought maybe today we'd talk a little bit about beauty, right? A little bit more about how God can not only bring others closer to him through beauty, but also why tyrants in particular. And I was thinking about this, why they, have you ever noticed, this is just another observation, if beauty is so important, and everybody can appreciate it, right? Who doesn't like something that's beautiful, right? Then why do tyrants, why do they try to destroy it? Why do they just, here's a little bit more of Tucker, listen.
I don't think I've ever heard a politician mention beauty. And I think about it constantly. I think about it on a couple levels. First, I think about it on a political level. So you, and I'm hardly a Bible scholar, but of course, how do you judge a tree? By its fruits, right? You don't judge it by, you know, what the arborist told you it was. You wait till it produces something, and then you know what it is. Oh, those are pears. They told me it was an apple tree. Well, I guess they guessed wrong. So the way that I judge ideas is by their fruit. And not just their ideological fruit, their physical, tangible, observable fruit, the things they make. So everything that we see around us is the product of ideas, of ideologies. That's where everything starts. In the beginning, there was the word. It starts with a word, always. And here's how we know if the ideology is a good one. Noble ideologies produce beautiful results. They produce beauty. Poisonous ideologies produce ugliness. Super simple. There's a reason the architecture in Bulgaria in 1975 was hideous. Because Sofia in 1975 was controlled by the Soviet Union. Soviet architecture was horrifying. So was architecture under Mao. They knocked down everything worth having, built during the preceding millennia, and they replaced it with concrete boxes. Why'd they do that? Because those boxes, those buildings, that architecture, that design, sent a very clear message, which is, you are worth nothing. There's no beauty for you. Now, why is beauty so important, and why do tyrants always destroy it? Well, they destroy it because beauty reminds you that the most important things are eternal. They're unchanging. Beauty is recognizable across cultures, across centuries. You can go to a place, a culture you're completely unfamiliar with, and if you see something beautiful, you recognize it immediately. Why? Because beauty has balance and symmetry and grace. You know it instantly. A beautiful face in this culture is very similar to a beautiful face in that culture. Beautiful building, same thing. It has balance. Why? Why does beauty have balance? Because it's derived from nature. It's derived from God's creation. So the closer we are to God's creation, the straighter the path and the better the path.
Hey, man, bravo, Tucker. I thought I would share that. I think it's such a great point he brought up. And I was thinking about it, and we could talk about it. Anthony Visco is going to be joining me in a minute or two here, and I'll get him into the conversation. Very gifted artist. I'll tell you a little bit more about him. But, and I'd love to hear your take. Feel free to join me anytime. 888-914-9149. You know, it doesn't take faith. Let me just start there. To be affected by great beauty, right? This is not a Catholic Christian thing. It doesn't take faith. Many atheists are stopped in their tracks when they walk into St. Peter's Basilica, right? They're in awe of the magnificent beauty of what's contained within there. Same goes for those who see the western sky ablaze with the sunset, or if you've ever had a chance to see the Aurora Borealis dancing, you know, across the night sky, it's breathtaking. Or to hear some of the great composers, you know, Mozart, or gaze upon great architectural feats like Notre Dame, right? Beauty has a power. It has a power to evangelize. It has a power to move, to stir the soul. And I think it's a great starting point for evangelization. I really do. You know, Tucker was talking about why tyrants attack beauty. Remember the attack? Michelangelo's Pietà, right? Used to be in the center of St. Peter's. I mean, you'd walk in, you could go right up to it. It was cordoned off by a little rope. Now it's behind bulletproof glass. And that image, if you're not familiar with it, is Michelangelo did that. He was like 24 years of age. It's a magnificent sculpture out of one big block of marble, and it's Our Lady holding the lifeless body of Jesus after the crucifixion. But it shows you a lot more. I mean, the stone looks like it's alive. I mean, you see the horrors of the crucifixion. You see grief beyond measure on the face of the Virgin Mary. You know, this profound expression on Our Lady's face. And this is all out of stone, right? It's just amazing. I'm not even doing it justice. I could go off on how beautiful the artwork is. But the attack on beauty that our cultures experience, it's no accident. It is no coincidence that this proliferation of bad art that we're seeing in the culture today coincides right now, I think, with society's fight against truth, fight against goodness, right? That's what we're seeing. There's more to what's going on today than meets the eye. And I've invited today Anthony Visco to join me. I think he probably understands this better than most. He does. And it's a delight to have just what I consider one of our modern-day gifted artists on. He's a classical artist from the city of Brotherly Love. His work is primarily in churches all across the country. If you happen to go, and I say this is perhaps one of the more beautiful shrines in our country, it might be a best-kept secret if you have not been there, go to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's on the bluffs overlooking the Mississippi. It is unbelievably beautiful there, and he did a lot of the artwork there. He also teaches art in Florence, Italy. It's good to have him with me once again. Anthony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew, and thank you for having me again. Good to hear you.
Yeah, I want to bring some beauty to the airwaves. I really do. I mean, yes. In light of so much negativity that's out there, it can be overwhelming. There's a lot of goodness out there as well, but, you know, this is an eternal fight. This is a spiritual thing, really, because Satan
hates
beauty.
Problem. There's a lot of goodness, and as you mentioned earlier, that triad of beauty, truth, and goodness, the people that are attacking it right now are, beauty's offensive to them because it shows them that they are lying, and so they get very upset with it. I mean, going back to, as you mentioned, the attack on the Pietà, let's go forward a little bit later to the attack on Salvador Dali's crucifixion. When that painting was slashed in Glasgow, and the curators called him and said, "Mr. Dali, your painting was slashed," he was actually delighted in a way. And he said, "Oh, that's proof. That's proof that kind of beauty would push a madman to the edge." Beauty is very upsetting to those people. That's why we're seeing it. You know, let's smear icing in front of the Mona Lisa. Let's attack Botticelli's Primavera in the Uffizi. And then this last one a week ago, let's glue our hands to the masterpiece that inspired Michelangelo, the Laocoon. How these people are getting into these museums is beyond my comprehension, absolutely. But nevertheless, it's a deliberate attack because, you know, if you reverse the whole trilogy there, or triad, beauty is not absolute, it's in the eye of the beholder. Truth is a matter of opinion, and good and evil are relative. And they are the people, the very culprits that are attacking it right now.
That's so true.
Because that's the universe they live in.
It's so true. I also believe there's an innate human need for beauty, and I want to talk about that. But let me do this.
Oh, God,
I'm going to take a real short. Let me take a quick break here. We'll carry you back on the other side. So stay with me. Short little pause here. If you want to join us, my guest today, Anthony Visco. You can follow him, by the way, if you want to. AnthonyViscoArtist.com is his website. AnthonyViscoArtist.com. We come back, we'll take a deeper dive into these transcendentals, right? And I love what he said. The transcendentals really have a unity about them. If something is true, It's also good, and it's also beautiful. Taking a look today at beauty.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Listen to the wind blow. Yeah, now that's a classic, huh? Good tune. Good to be here with you today. Hey, I love exploring life with you. Today we're taking a look at beauty, something that is clearly under attack in our culture, something that needs to be upheld. The spotlight needs to shine on it because beauty can bring people to their senses. It can make them see what is true. They can make them see what is good. It's like a splash of cold water. It can bring, you know, there's this slumbering culture out of its stupor. And I'm joined by somebody who knows this. He's dedicated his life to art. He teaches in Florence, Italy. Was one of the great artists at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And he's been a longtime friend of the program. It's good to talk with classical artist Anthony Visco. Anthony, thanks for being here. Let's jump right in the phones. I think a friend of yours has just dialed in. I want to hear what he's got to say. Monsignor Joseph Gentile, good afternoon. Good to hear from you there in Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Drew. Yeah. Thanks. A big fan of Relevant Radio. God bless you and your work. And a big fan of Anthony Visco. Anthony, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Monsignore. Well, good afternoon. Buon pomeriggio.
Altrettanto. So my question, Drew, thanks for taking my call. I didn't even
plan
on doing this. So this is not a fixed call or anything or a setup. So I love this topic. Anthony and I've had the honor and the blessing of working with Anthony over the last, 12 years, him assisting me with the art and beauty of building a church, Our Lady of Guadalupe in Buckingham, Pennsylvania, just outside of Doylestown. And we faced a lot of challenges. But what I wanted to ask him, I don't know if I've ever asked you this, Anthony, how do you personally handle when you're doing good work on behalf of the Lord and presenting a beautiful artistic work, which he has happened to help us so much in our church and making it a place of great beauty to raise people's minds and hearts to the Lord. How do you personally handle those challenges that face you when things start falling apart, or the artwork isn't coming together, or problems happen with the communication? And does that make sense what I'm saying? How do you personally handle?
Well, I think I got some good advice along the way. Some years ago, when I was working on the Padre Pio sculpture for St. John the Evangelist, I kept running into problem after problem after problem. And Father Galligan over here at St. Rita's, God rest his soul, I went to him and I said, Father, I don't understand this. It falls over. It gets attacked. The people that are helping me get attacked. And he got excited. He said, oh, this is very good. I said, what do you mean? He said, some really good things are going to, of course, it would be attacked. It's Padre Pio. I still didn't understand it. Why, Padre Pio draws that? He said, no, he doesn't cause it, but he'll take it on. He will take it on. Mm-hmm. And you doing this. Mm-hmm. And then years later, I ran into some other issues, and I sought out one of the diocesan priests who I had never met, and he didn't know what I did. One thing led to another in conversation, and he said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I do, sculpture, church stuff, And he said, did you do that Padre Pio at St. John's? I said, yeah. He said, I had a very special favor. I have a devotion, and I would pray before that sculpture, that statue, and it was answered. And so, you get evidence. Once in a while, you get the evidence later, but it does, So you have to keep that in mind when you're being attacked like that. And we're all being attacked like that right now in the church. We know that. When beauty is attacked, the church is attacked. So you just kind of bear that in mind that
you know, I must be doing something right. You hope, anyway.
Amen.
Amen to that. Yeah. Hey, Monsignor, thank you for calling. It's great to hear from you.
Thanks.
I'm grateful that you called
and
you're welcome anytime, okay?
And Anthony, you keep up the good work, too.
All right, Monsignor, thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Say a prayer for Monsignor Joseph Gentile there, and good to have him dialing in. Got some friends in a lot of places, huh, Anthony? It's good to have those surprise telephone calls.
I went from Guadalupe, Wisconsin to Guadalupe, Buckingham, PA. So it's
Buckingham. It wasn't Doylestown. It was Buckingham, PA. That's great. That's fantastic. First time I spoke of that. Hey, I want to pick up on something that Tucker had said just a moment ago. He made a comment about beauty. And he said that, look, we need it, right? And I think that I think he's right. He also said that tyrants, they go after it when they rise to power. And if you look at history, you got Adolf Hitler, he looted Europe. You have Stalin, you have Mao, right? They plundered and they destroyed, Stalin, Russia, Mao, China. And then all three, what did they do? They all attempted to hijack art and use it for their own purposes.
Architecture, yeah.
Why does that kind of art fail?
It's happening here, where especially with government-sponsored art programs, it's a problem. Like so many people will say to me, "Where are the Medicis?" Well, that's a whole different. It's not that it's a different time; it's a different mechanism. Here, the government is telling you, you won't get the money unless you produce this kind of work. And it has to contain this kind of content. For example, right now there's a show at the Philadelphia Museum of Art of re-sewn together garbage peels. And the artist that did it has won every grant possible. She's checked off all the right boxes. Number one, she's a feminist. Number two, she does garbage. Number three, she relates the garbage to AIDS.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. The most preventable disease in the world. She's got it. She's got it made. She repeats this show over and over and over again. So our schools are supporting this as well. You don't do that, you don't get the grants. You don't do that, you don't get in the show. So we've got some really deep-rooted, and they're governmental problems. It's not independent art studios and ateliers. If you don't do this, you won't get the grant. So you got to become a 501c3. I have friends that are going through this now. They try to set up an art school for classical art or whatever. And unless they do the other stuff, you don't get the money.
Yeah.
So,
I remember.
It's a very heavy-handed role right now. We need patronage that doesn't have those connections.
That's true. Speaking of art, just for a quick minute, if we could, I remember years ago, the Brooklyn Museum of Art held an exhibition, and I think they displayed the Virgin Mary covered in elephant dung. And they called that art.
It was a show called Sensations. I remember very well. I didn't see it, but David Bowie did the voiceover. It was quite a success.
I'll never forget that. It got a lot of rave reviews. And then there was a jar of urine with a crucifix stuck in it upside down. And they called that art. I mean, how do we draw? I mean, explain this. Is this just is that a satanic attack on what art really is? I don't see beauty.
No. It has nothing to do with that, Drew. I'm sorry. It has to do with the thing that these people love the most is censorship. That's why. Don't attack it on that level. That's my do not attack
value?
It on that level. They
what do they do?
Censorship. So once you censor it, you've made a success out of them. So it's sort of
that's
like
really
the old Hercules and Antaeus myth where every time Hercules threw him down, he got stronger.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's so many different attacks right now. You go to Florence, you walk through the streets, the David, the most, people wait in line. But what do you see on the sidewalks? Refrigerator magnets of David's genitalia.
Yeah, right.
There's another thing where they have to trivialize it. And that that gives great comfort because they can't do anything about, they can't compete with it. They won't dare to try to, which is wrong. They should compete with it. But anyway, have you ever heard of Stendhal syndrome? In Florence,
no.
where
No,
people
no,
actually, well, it's died down somewhat, but people would go to Uffizi or go to the David, and they'd be rushed off to Santa Nuova Hospital with panic attacks. You don't hear about that much anymore because, again, the trivialization. But they were so confronted with beauty and being overwhelmed, they'd get heart palpitations. They felt like they were going to faint. That's the power of it. So to deny that power, trivialize it.
All right, my guest today, Anthony Visco. Hey, Anthony, I got to leave it right here because I'm up against the clock.
Okay, go ahead.
Shrine, your website is anthonyviscoartist.com. Anthonyviscoartist.com. Let's do this again. I wish we had a little bit more time so we could really dive into this and unpack it. A lot of people want to join the conversation, but I'm grateful. I hope they'll check you out, and I look forward to us talking again. I just got a text from the host of Morning Air, John Morales. He just notified me that Mikhail Gorbachev has died, according to Russian media. That comes from the Associated Press. When we return, I'll give you all the details. Stay with me.